This is Good Clean Talks.
Talk.
I'm Dolan.
I'm Dakota.
I'm Alex.
And this is Good Motherfucking Clean Fucking Talks and Shit. So we were recording. Excuse my farting sounds. We were recording a
podcast.
Yeah, we recorded an episode. We were like literally 25 fucking minutes into it.
Mid recording,
maybe 20 minutes into it. My computer dropped and fell, and well, here we are again.
Some Asian symbols came up.
Yeah,
we freaked out. Pretty and started much the computer.
Go watch Cuckoo on Netflix.
There were some hieroglyphs.
It's a great British show. It's funny. Watch it.
Cuckoo's good. It's on Netflix. It's pretty sweet.
Give us money for advertisement.
So, Alex.
Yes.
You have how many arms now?
One.
Alright, how did that happen?
I was trying to cut a piece of paper, and the scissors were a lot bigger than I anticipated. No, I was in a car accident, and it was weird. Like, the way it happened was, we were all having fun hanging out. My friend Dylan, whose nickname was Van, which will come up later, we were all hanging out in the garage. And he had this girlfriend with him, and she turned out to be, like, kind of, like, she was 17 at the time, and I was, I just turned 17, and he was like, oh no, we gotta bring her back home, because her parents are freaking out. So my friend Lyle, who was, like, very nauseous and sick from, like, the night before, was like, okay, cool, let's all go. We all got in the van. And this chick, Kat, was, it was her mom's van, her minivan. She started driving, but we realized before we got out of the neighborhood that she was too intoxicated to drive whatsoever.
On what?
So, she was just very drunk. And, Lyle decided he would take the wheel since he was, like, sober as all hell. He was very sober. He took the wheel. Decided to drive while Kat lay in the backpack, the trunk space of the minivan, and we drove to towards Polk County. We were going to, I think, Davenport to drop the girl off.
From Apopka?
Yes, from Apopka.
Florida.
Yeah.
This is all in Central Florida. This is driving around Central Florida.
And on the way there, we were going to stop because Lyle decided that once we dropped this girl off, he might as well show me this cool, like, abandoned building, because I had this thing for, like, abandoned houses, because I used to live around them in Zellwood.
Hell yeah.
So, on the way there, we stopped at a gas station, because his girlfriend at the time needed cigarettes. She got out of the car. Van switched seats with her, because this car parked next to us at the gas station, and they were this, like, it's like a Spanish dude and, like, a white guy, and they had this cool mixed CD of, like, their raps or something like that, and they wanted us to have one. And I was drunk, and, like, we were all drunk enough, and we were like, hell yeah, that sounds awesome. So we took the CD, put it in the CD player, and we'd listen to it, and it was pretty cool, but there's, like, three songs, but, like, Van sat there, and Lyle's girlfriend, when she came out after getting cigarettes, sat next to me in the back seat, and we drove and listened to the CD, and then once the CD was, like, done with, Van and Kayla, Lyle's girlfriend at the time, decided to switch seats. And when they switched seats, I had to unbuckle my seatbelt and scoot over to, like, the left side from the middle so that they can switch and sit in the middle. And since I was, like, intoxicated, I totally forgot to put my seatbelt back on. And, like, 5 or 10 minutes later, my friend Lyle ran a stop sign because he couldn't see it whatsoever. And we got T-boned on the side I was sitting on, the left side. I was behind the driver's seat. And we got T-boned, and the whole time we got T-boned, we spun towards the gas station across the intersection. I flew out the front passenger window, because her seat was, like, just, like, jerked forward with big-ass dent.
You were back driver's side, and you got thrown out the... You were back driver's side and got thrown out front passenger
side. Yeah, because the whole, like, left side just got obliterated. It looked like the Hulk just kind of drop-kicked it. And I flew out the front passenger window because, like, the second, like, Lyle, like, did all this crazy spinning maneuvers and stuff and dodged the gas tanks by, like, inches and dodged. He, like, scraped a cop car that was parked in front of the gas station and did, like, literally, like, 90 cents damage worth to the cop car.
Oh, my God. He had, he had a cop car?
Yeah, he, like, chipped a cop car. And without that cop, though, the cop that came out, his name was also Lyle. Which was,
When
we crashed, this cop comes outside, running outside, like, fuck his transaction, runs outside. His name also happens to be Lyle. And he's like, oh, shit. And he, like, radios in, because without him, I'd be dead. Because we would have had to call 911, they would have sent an ambulance, and then the ambulance would have been like, oh, we can't handle this, you need something worse. So, the cop came out, saw how bad the situation was, and he radioed in, I need a helicopter right now, because this is serious. So they sent out helicopters, and,
hell yeah.
The cop, Lyle, told my friend Lyle to use his belt to tourniquet my arm, because I flew out the front passenger window and landed in front of the van, and my arm was pinched between the front of the van and those posts in front of the gas, tanks at the gas stations. And it kind of got, like, toothpaste top, like, popped off. It was, like, 8 feet away from me.
Was it, like, spilling blood and shit?
Yeah, I was, like, Lyle said that I was bleeding so fast that it was like I was in a sea of purple. That's how fast that the blood was coming out. It wasn't orange or, like, red, but it was purple.
Yeah.
And I was just laying on my, like, arm, just, like, knocked the fuck out. And Van got out, and, like, Lyle came out, looked at me, and he said, oh, okay, Alex is fine, because he's so used to me getting fucked up all the time, mm-hmm. and always doing stupid shit that, like, when he saw me, he's like, oh, he's fine, he'll be okay. And he turned around, saw the other chick, Kat, Kayla, whose van it was, her mom's van. She flew out the back window, and she was drunk enough to where she kind of just bounced off the pavement, and he looked at her and was like, oh, shit, she's serious, and then he was like, wait. And then Van looked at him, he's like, no, Alex is fucking... Alex,
you got that backwards.
Up. Yeah. He was like, Alex is fucked up. Alex is fucked up. And then Lyle was like, oh, shit. And he looked back at me. He's like, fuck, Alex is fucked up. And that's when, the cop came out, said, holy shit, radioed it in, told Lyle to take his belt off and use it to, like, tourniquet my arm. Yeah. And Lyle's belt, I still have it today, and it smells like fucking nasty-ass, old-ass pennies, like copper.
Oh, my God.
And what it was your four main fingers other than your thumb, and each finger said DEAD, said dead. It was like a zombie, like, belt buckle.
The belt did?
Yeah.
No.
And he put that on he had to strap it to my arm, so it just said dead, like, branded on my fucking,
universe,
like, stump.
Man.
Yeah, while I was just bleeding out, and he strapped that on there. And then, the cop called everyone in. They came, and, Kat was okay, because, like, the second they went up to her, she started fighting him off. She woke up from her, like, drunken coma, started, like, throwing fists and shit, going, what the fuck, what are you doing, freaking out. And then they walked, like, it was her first night on, like, crazy ER, like, accident pickup duty. She, like, walked towards me, and when she saw me, she dropped this, like, bag of shit that she was carrying, or cooler or whatever, and tripped over it and busted her face, where she had to get stitches. Because, yeah, when she saw me, she was so shocked, she dropped this bag and just tripped over it and busted her face open. And I felt bad finding out the story, because it was, like, her first time, and I was like, great, I, like, messed her first day up of, like, work. And then they got me, though. They put me on the helicopter and flew me to Tampa General, and when they radioed it in, they called the hospital, and they said, hey, we're, like, fucking, like, 30 minutes out or something like that. And they're like, okay, what's his damage? And they told his damage, like, my damage. And the hospital said, he's not gonna make it in time. By the time he gets here, he's gonna be, like, dead. So I showed up barely alive. They cut me open, ice packed me, all kinds of shit to make sure my, like, temperature was okay, fixed whatever they could at the time that was, like, they could tell was visible damage. And then, like, later on, I would, like, have to figure out other shit, but they figured out what was, like, most important at the time to, like, stabilize me, and I made it, pretty much.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. That's fucking amazing. It's a miracle.
I thought of the Holocaust song. Isn't that how it starts? Well, I see you, or something like that.
I don't know, but my question, did it hurt? Did you feel any pain
throughout? No, I blacked out and totally. I was hit so hard, I blacked out and totally forgot everything.
Crazy.
To where, when I woke up, I would remember things. And I was like, yeah, I remember, like, a week before, or, like, days before, and they're like, no, it was, like earlier that day. And I was like, oh, shit. To where everything seemed like it was weeks before that happened, but it was the day of. And, I guess it's part of, like, being hit, like, square on the head.
Do you remember any of those things that you thought you remembered?
Well, yeah, I remember, like...
Dude, no. Sorry, I'm talking to Dakota. What? Sorry, go ahead, Alex.
I remember, like, the gas station part. I remember, like, stopping there so that Lyle's girlfriend at the time, Kayla, can get cigarettes. And I remember, like, this, like, random dude's parking next to us in, like, a Honda or a Nissan or some shit. And then being like, hey! Because we were drunk and being friendly, me and Van. Because we were always like that. We were the same energy when we were drunk, to where he was like, hey, and we were all like excited, and they were like, hey, listen to our mixtape, our CD, we're going to be rappers, or some shit like that. So we're like, fuck yeah. And they just gave us our CD, and we thought that'd be awesome, like, kill the time with. So he sat up front and baby, sit up.
Dakota, you're wheezing. You need to, like,
baby,
not have an asthma attack.
Baby. Dakota. Baby.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I remember them giving us the CD, putting it in, listening to it. It was pretty good rap music. It was, like, mediocre or whatever. It was interesting. It was fun. It wasn't, like, shitty.
You don't steal the CD, do you?
No. I'm sure Van does, or I don't know. Something. I don't know. The car was, like, impounded because it was so messed up. Uh-huh. Like, I saw pictures of the car after my coma and after everything, and after leaving the hospital. And my mom had pictures of it, and it looked like the Hulk, like, drop-kicked the side of the car because of how hard we really hit. And that's why we believe, like, they say the car that hit us wasn't speeding because there wasn't skid marks. That's their, like, science behind it.
Yeah, that just means but at the same
time, yeah, at the same time, that means that they were speeding because they hit us hard enough to where the side of the car, it looked like a Campbell chicken noodle soup can just, like, kind of ripped in half on the side.
Oh, my God.
And, like, on the other side, the only thing that was broken was the front passenger window, and that's where I was ejected from.
As you're saying this and you're talking with your hands, I see on your left hand that scar that goes from your elbow, like, up to your forearm.
Oh, yeah, because my elbow was shattered because I landed, they say I landed, like, on my right arm, whatever was left of it, like, my right stump.
And it's your right arm that's missing.
Yeah, my right arm's missing. That was what was pinned, and I landed, and it was pinned and popped off, but I was laying there, and that's when, like, Lyle came out of the car. He saw me, and he was like, okay, good. Alex is fine. Just, he was so in shock that he looked at me and he was like, okay, Alex is fine.
At the point that he saw you, you were missing an arm.
Yeah, my arm was like 8 feet away from me, literally. They said it was 8 feet away, because I shot out the window at like 80-something miles per hour. Like, they did the math, and they were like, he was ejected like 80-something miles per hour out the front passenger window. And I landed, and my arm was pinned. Like a toothpaste, like, top, when you squeeze it and the pop, like, the top pops off kind of thing.
Yeah,
to where that was how my arm was, like, ripped off, pretty much, to where I landed in front of the van, and my arm was pinned between that and, like, the poles next to the gas tanks, that keep you from hitting the gas tanks, and, my arm popped off. It was sent, like, 8 feet away from my body, on the other side of the van, and I just laid there. I guess I have no idea. I would, like, was knocked out. So
some gas stations have, like, they got the pylons there to keep you from hitting them.
Yeah.
But they've also got, like, a curb, like a step up to the gas station. Like, the gas dispensary is kind of, yeah, like on a curb. Like, it's just raised up a little bit, maybe, like, curbside off of the concrete. That's not what was going on at this gas station.
Yeah, no, it was like, it was one of those, like, a random, we were in Polk County, literally. It's funny, like, the road was called Kokomo Road.
Kokomo Road.
Like the song, yeah. Like Kokomo, like, and in Polk County, and it was like a random like Circle K or something like that. To where it was kind of like, it wasn't run down, but it was one of those like gas stations kind of forgotten about to a certain extent. To where it was there and had like the basic necessities. And like that's what happened was like we got hit. We swerved across the intersection towards the gas station. Lyle did whatever he could to dodge the cop car and the gas tanks, but my arm, like, I landed and I got ejected from the front passenger window because I forgot to put my seatbelt back on. And was ejected from the front passenger window, and my arm was pinned between the front of the minivan that I was in and the poles in front of the gas tanks.
Do you think that if the gas tanks had been raised up, like there had been a curb there, things would be a lot different? Like you might be dead, or maybe you would have kept your arm or something?
I think, honestly, I feel like if I had... I remember talking about, like, if I had my seatbelt on, I'd probably be dead.
Because you went back there, right?
Yeah, I remember, like, right after I left the hospital on Easter morning, and all the doctors made all these jokes, like, oh, ha, ha, just like Jesus rising from the dead. And I was like, ha, ha.
How do they know?
Yeah, I was like, oh, you're the fifth doctor that told me, so ha, 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 whatever, I don't care, I just want to leave. And we got in the car, and I had this weird, like, I had a neck brace and everything because of my broken neck. And we drove, and Andy asked me, well, first he asked my mom, and she's like, well, I don't know, ask him. And he looked and asked me, he's like, hey, you want to, like, drive by where it happened?
Who's Andy?
My stepdad.
Okay.
And at the time, yeah. Well, he's still my stepdad. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm fine with it. And we drove. And when I saw it, it was just literally a normal gas station. And the only difference was in front of the stop sign that Lyle missed, they added a brand new sign that said stop sign ahead. Like, feet in front of that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because the cops said... Because everyone was like, oh, it's just fucking kids racing or whatever, just speeding. And the cop was like, no. There's adults that miss this sign. There's adults that get in accidents and hit this. And he said that, like, it's not just, we're not doing kid shit, that it's just a common occurrence that there was, like, 50-something deaths before me because of that stop sign being, like blocked by trees or whatever.
God damn.
Yeah, to where they trim the trees, and then, like, 5 feet in front of the stop sign, they put a stop sign ahead because of my accident. They, like, cleaned that shit up.
Your cord is hitting the pop filter.
Okay.
Hold on, someone's on. What's going on here? Who is... Oh my god. No, Dakota, I don't have gum. Sorry.
Okay. I see my car.
Dakota, you're sitting right in front of me and you sent me 2 Snapchats and a text message.
Did I send Snapchats? I don't remember saying Snapchats. Yeah,
you could just talk to me. You're right in front of me.
There's a mic in front of your mouth, baby.
I was in a car crash once. Back in 2010, I rolled 3 times. Oh, 3 or 4 times. I don't know. It's kind of hard to count. I was going on this road going like fucking 90 miles an hour. This road was a clay road, by the way. It ran parallel to these power lines. And the power lines kept going straight. Okay. You don't have to whisper. You can just announce it. These power lines kept going straight, but the road turned to the right and turned to asphalt, but it's like,
sorry, baby.
It's like you can't tell, you can't really see from afar what the road's doing, so I thought it was going straight, but, you know, it was just a power line road that was going straight. The road that I was taking kind of turned to the right and turned to asphalt, so I slowed down when I saw the asphalt. I saw the curve, but it slowed down enough, and I hit that curve, and I was in a Chevy Blazer, a 2-door, very narrow wheelbase, and when I hit the curb, I did a 180, and after the 180, I started rolling passenger side first, so I'm facing kind of like, the curve was right, but I'm facing like as if I had turned left, and started rolling, and there was these pylons that prevented cars from going down the power line road. Yeah. Somehow we cleared the pylons, like we bounced over them. The pylons were 4 feet high.
Damn.
Somehow my car rolled over the pylons without killing any of us, without perforating any of our bodies. We bounced over it, and when we rolled another 100 yards or so, and then came to rest in a palmetto picket. Like, I crawled out, and I've got a scar on my middle finger on my right hand, and I've got a scar on my wrist on my left hand, and then I had a scar or two on my knee, but I
can see it still, yeah.
I don't know where the scar on my knee is.
The right side, there.
That's from a bike accident, what you're looking at. I have this is from a balloon accident.
Damn.
This is from a bicycle, and then I have another one right below the bicycle one that's also from the balloons. Yeah. I had a balloon accident.
That was my thing, was like...
But if you want to see my scar on the middle finger right there...
Yeah. He's flicking me up.
It's such a small scar, but out of all of that, like, I almost killed three other people, and...
That's always intense. It's like, it's not even yourself, it's like the other people, because I remember waking up, and, like, my first question was, like, how's Van?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how's, like, everyone... And I remember, like, doctors thought it was, like, a suicide pat, because... The night before, or like the weekend before, me and Van got drunk. Dylan, his nickname was Van. We got drunk, and we were like in a loving drunk mood to where we're like, let's get a razor and carve our loved ones' names in our arms. To where like I wrote Lyle's nickname, Sid Death, and I wrote Van, Dylan's nickname, and I wrote like Brandy and like all these nicknames on like our arms. To where like when I was in the coma, all the nurses saw that and they saw Sid, Death, Van. So they're like, oh shit.
They knew.
Yeah, they're like, they planned this. Yeah, they thought it was some crazy Charles Manson suicide pact. They're like, oh, Death, Van, they meant to do this.
Do you still and have like, those scars?
Oh, kind of like, it's vague. It's very vague, because it was like a light kind of cut, like at the time.
You just
kind of
like scratched yourself.
Yeah, we like scratched it to where like we bled and like shit like that with the razors, but you can kind of see it if you look close enough, but. I have enough hair to, like, it blocks it, but it was definitely, like, all the doctors, everyone created these, like, crazy theories as to what happened to me. They were like,
and
you
woke up.
He was hanging out the window or all this shit to where, like, I remember waking up and I was, like, so fucked up. And I looked over and I was like, was I really hanging out the window? And I was like, no, dude, those windows didn't even open. Those was, like, the pop ones where you, like, hold the clip and pop them out.
Yeah.
Like, half an inch.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of windows to where you couldn't have hung out of them. I was like, oh, okay, shit. I just hear all these nurses. And, like, it was all this craziness went on. Like, I remember, like, waking up. One of the first things I remember waking up from the coma was it was a crazy, like, Joker-esque incident to where, like, I was laying in bed. And my hospital door, the door to my bedroom opened, and it was my mom sitting next to me. The door opened, and they were pushing a wheelchair in, and they were all wearing normal clothes. It was like nurses and like doctors. It was a dude and a girl and shit. And they're like, hey, it's time to get in the wheelchair and go get some fresh air. And like, it was before I realized my neck was broken or anything. I just knew I didn't want to like sit up. I didn't want to sit up straight. I just knew something was wrong with it, like, because of the pain. To where I said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get in the wheelchair. And my mom laughed and looked at them and said, no, it's fine. He wants to get in the wheelchair. And they all kind of laughed. And it, like, literally, because of the amount of, like, coma-induced drugs I was on, it seemed like a bunch of, like, Joker-esque people laughing at me.
They were, like, fucking with you.
Yeah,
shit.
Their, like, smiles were stretched across their faces. And they were all laughing at me, like, ah, ha, 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 like, they wouldn't listen to me whatsoever, and I was freaking out, like, no, I don't want to get in the wheelchair, I don't want to get, and they were all laughing at me, like, insane clowns, and, like, it was literally, like, the Joker.
ICP nurses.
Yeah, it was, like, if, like, Heath Ledger was all the fucking nurses, everyone pushing the, like, wheelchair and saying, oh, get in the wheelchair, and I was Dakota, like, no, I don't want to do this.
Dakota, as a nurse assistant... Mm-hmm. Do y'all gossip like that? Is that a thing that y'all do?
Yes. A lot. Okay. All the time. Very much. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Oh, no. I knew that, yeah, my mom
nurses
was like...
Nurses are pompous, pretentious assholes, and we think we know everything.
Yeah, my mom told me, she was like, no, they weren't laughing at you. And I was like, no, they were all fucking laughing at me. They were all... And, like, I felt crazy because she was trying to defend them, but I knew... But they were all laughing at how ridiculous I was being about how bad I did not want to get into this wheelchair.
It's like, because dude, it you just lost so, a fucking arm, yeah. And you fractured
well,
something
aside,
in your neck.
That was even before I knew that. I just knew I didn't want to go in the wheelchair. Just sitting up sucked. Wait,
so how long did it take for them to figure out something happened with your neck?
it was a while after, like, well, first off, there was the whole, like, one arm thing to where I knew my arm was, like, I knew my arm was missing. Well, no, at first, it felt like my right arm was broken to a certain extent to where it felt like it was literally just taped to where my fist was at my shoulder. My forearm was taped. Like, I thought it was some weird new age way of casting. My right arm. That's what I thought my right arm was.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the phantom limb pain.
Okay.
To where I was coming down from the drugs, where I still felt my right hand, so I still thought it was there up until I was done hallucinating and all that kind of shit from the, like, drugs. Because just, like, they thought I was brain dead for a while. It's where they were about to pull a plug on me. Because they asked me, they were like, Alex, like, a while after, like, taking me off the drugs, they were like, Alex, show us two fingers with your hand. And I didn't do anything. And then they're like, show us two fingers. And I didn't do anything.
Like, I am, what?
Yeah, and then they were like, okay, he's brain dead. He's clearly done. There's nothing we can do here. My mom was like, no, fuck that. Hold on. Alex, with your left fucking hand, show us two fingers. And with my left hand, I lift two fingers up instantly. And then realized, oh, shit, yeah. Because I was trying with my fucking right hand, because I still feel it, like, even today. To where I was, like, sitting there with my right hand trying to show two fingers, but it wasn't there. To where it felt like it was because of my nerves, but it wasn't.
So
they thought I was brain dead.
Because of that.
Yeah, they were about to, like, pull a fucking plug on me.
That shows how flawed the medical
system is. Oh, yeah. No, there was a bunch of, even, like, with my broken hip, I was in a coma. And they were washing me one day, like, sponge bath or whatever. They turned me on my side, my left side. And my mom was, like, on her knees, kind of, like, watching me, like, watching the side of the bed, like, with her eyes to make sure everything was fine. And when I flipped over on my side, I made eye contact with her, and my eyes shot open the second I was on my left fucking hip. And I was in a coma, like, blackout, fucking almost dead.
But you woke up for that?
Yeah, eyes shot open. No, I have no idea. And my mom was like, hey, that's not fucking normal. There's something wrong. His eyes shot open because of pain. We need to, like, check. And she was like, we need to check his pelvic bone right now, his hip or something like that, because the second you guys wrote him over, it, like, his eyes shot open. And they did a pressure, like, extent test or some shit like that. They put some pressure on my hip, and they realized that my whole pelvic bone was just completely disconnected, to where it was just flopping, like, back and forth.
Oh, my God.
And they put pressure, and they're like, oh, shit, you're right. So they fixed that, and they put, like, a metal, like, it looked like a handbar on my fucking, like, waist, like, dude, coming out and going across my hip. And that was, like, the first time pretty much my mom, like, saved my ass. And later, I woke up from, like, the coma and shit. I started, like, getting better. And then, like, the more clear the drugs started wearing off, the more clear I got, I realized my neck fucking sucked. And it hurt to, like, sit up.
After you woke up?
The more I became, like, normal and clear, the more I realized shit hurt all the fucking time, and my neck sucked, just holding my head up and everything.
Where it's not supposed to be. Hey, Dakota! Yo, hey. Alright, I'm gonna hit pause real quick. That works. I guess we just move the microphone away from her. Won't hear and shit.
But I, the longer, like, I was awake and, like, clear of, like, the coma-induced drugs, I realized that my neck fucking sucked. And my nerves and everything. Everything was sensitive. They tried to, like, my mom tried to shave my face. And the second, like, the razor blade was, like, on my, like, hair, I just screamed because it sucked. Or, like, my brother Michael would, like, walk and his jeans would scrape on the side of my, like, plastic hospital bed. And I would feel that shit in my, like, fucking muscles and my soul and shit.
So you couldn't move your head at
just
all?
Just anything. Like, what I, like, it, like, I literally was, like, this weird, just on pillows to where I could. But it sucked. It was just weird. I was, like, weak and shit to where, like, the doctors were like, oh, it's fine. It's just your neck muscles because you were in a coma for so long.
But it was your bones.
Yeah. They thought, yeah, exactly. For the longest time.
You said you were C4 and C3?
Yeah. C4 to C6.
Oh, yeah. So down. So from C4 down to thoracic and below.
Yeah, because what happened was my Adam's apple, the bone, the phenol bone or whatever that holds the Adam apple, was fractured when I, like, hit the fucking baby. Dakota!
You okay?
Baby!
Over there, sitting, hitting paw. Okay, so.
Yeah. They said, oh, it's fine. It's just his neck muscles because they're atrophied because he hasn't used them so long for, like, since I was in the coma.
How long were you in a coma for?
I think 6 weeks, something like that. And, so we were like, okay, cool. So they said it was going to get better, like, the more I use my neck. So every time I had OT, like, you know, therapy, they made me, like, roll my neck around, look up and down, all kinds of shit. Or, like, I was also in a wheelchair because of my broken pelvic bone, to where they, like, had me practicing jumping out of the wheelchair into, like, a parked car to where I'd get used to, like, you know, going around town and shit like that.
A real parked car or, like, a...
It was an actual car on, like, cinder blocks or some kind of shit. But it was in the gym of the hospital kind of, like, thing.
So, like, a makeshift.
Yeah, it was, like, it was a practice car. It was a real car, though, but it was a practice vehicle to where I would practice. Because I wasn't allowed to step on, I think it was my left foot, my right foot, one of those, I wasn't allowed to put pressure on those because that was where my pelvic bone was broken at, to where I could only stand on, like, my right foot, like, for a while, to where I got so good at it, after a while, I used to hop out on one foot and throw myself from the wheelchair to, like, the passenger seat, like a fucking badass, and then, like, a while later, like, my neck instead of getting better, it got worse. To where he kept complaining, and they kept thinking that my mom was trying to get me more drugs for herself or for me or some bullshit. To where eventually they gave
says like the nurses who's looking at the dude with one arm and like fucking 1,000 pins in his fucking bones.
Exactly. To where it was like I was like complaining, saying my fucking neck, it's worse, it hurts more, and it got worse. Like my nerve damage got worse, all that shit got worse. To where finally they're like, okay, fine, we'll do a neck extension test. To where they took me, they x-rayed my neck to where one picture was me looking up, one picture was me looking down. And then I was like, cool, hopefully this fixes things. I went back to my room, and like a couple of days later, it was like a week later or some shit like that, midnight until 2 in the morning I had the surgery. It was midnight. I was about to, like, go to sleep, finally, and this neurosurgeon just walks in. We called him the Hulk, because he looked like Lou Ferrigno, without, like, the Hulk makeup. He was, like, this buff Italian dude, like, Sicilian.
So, like, the dude that punched the car that fucked you up in the first place.
yeah, exactly. Like, he walked in, and we called him the Hulk, because he looked like, he was this buff dude, he's this young neurosurgeon. He walked in, and he said, he looked at my mom, and looked at me, he's like, well, no love lost, but... we found out that your son's neck is broken.
No love lost.
Yeah, he said that repeatedly, like, 3 times in the conversation. No,
what does that even fucking entail? Yeah.
He said, no love lost. He's like, we overlooked your son's x-rays accidentally. They literally, my son, my x-rays were, like,
do you have a malpractice? In a pile.
No, I should have, honestly. I should have. I could have. Well, no, I feel like it's been, like, years too late.
You got, like,
thing.
10 years or something on that, don't you?
I thought it was 5 years, but, yeah, to where... I could have if I wanted to, but I didn't care. I just wanted to get fixed at the time. And so pretty much, he was like, no love lost. We, like, accidentally overlooked your son's x-rays.
Sorry and shit.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, we found out that C4 to C6, when it looks down, so, they slide and hit his spinal cord. And when he looks up, they slide back and hit his spinal cord.
So, like, you had a settlement, right?
No. Oh, yeah, that was from the accident itself, not from the hospital.
So, like, you had money, so you didn't think to, like...
Well, I just didn't think in general. Even, like, with the money, I didn't even know until after I left the hospital.
Do you think maybe you were, like, on drugs for too long?
Kind of, yeah. Well, it was also, I was young, and I was just worried about my life.
You were underage, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think there's still a chance you can...
I was 17.
Do you think there's still a chance you can get malpractice?
I don't know, I doubt it. I just know that, like, at the time, I was just, like, worried. Even, like, after I left the hospital and found out I had all this, like, settlement money from everyone, all the insurance companies involved, they were like, shit, he's got it the worst, so let's give him, like, 100-whatever grand. And I was like, oh, shit, really? I have money? That's cool. And I didn't really care about it because
I was just worried grand, about my
fucking life.
100 grand only lasts, like, so long.
Well, at the time, I kind of had Social Security. It was, like, maybe $600 and to pay for my bills or whatever. And, like, while they were weighing out the options of me having Social Security. And then the second I turned 18, they like stripped me of Social Security and they said, "Oh, you don't need it."
So there's an injustice. Yeah, there's an injustice going on here, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that you, Alex, missed out on your the fact that your neck was there was complete malpractice.
Oh yeah, they pretty much everything I was doing at the time, because they thought it was muscles. So what you do with muscles is you work out your muscles. But it wasn't my muscles, it was my bones.
Right.
So instead, all I was doing was affecting my bones, to where I was jumping into cars, like, from the wheelchair and all kinds of shit, to where if I was shoved the wrong way, I could have been paralyzed from the neck down, pretty much, was what they said. They were like, if he was jerked the wrong way or some shit, my bones could have severed my spinal column, my spinal columns could have severed my spinal cords. To where from the neck down, I could have been paralyzed.
So you could have had a really good case here.
Oh yeah,
Let's all get behind this, ladies and gentlemen, all you listeners, all you 12.
Yeah, it was one of those things to where I definitely like had a case, but at the time it was more like, fuck. Well, can we like fix it? And they said yeah. To where I remember like sitting in the hospital bed in the like the pre-surgery room. They made me move my hand and my toes and my neck and shit. And then next thing you know, I just passed the fuck out. They're like, this is gonna make your throat feel numb. I was like, okay. And I passed the fuck out. Then I woke up and the same like surgeon walked up and he was like, okay, move your toes and hands again to make sure I wasn't paralyzed from the surgery. Cause there was like a whatever chance, 10% chance or some shit that it would do the opposite effect. And I was fine, thank God. And the only thing that came from was, like, I had nerve damage for, like, the longest time. To which, eventually I took Neurontin, which fixed that shit. To where I still couldn't shave my face or brush my hair or anything like that. Because my nerves
sensitive. How did they fix your neck? What happened?
They, cut, like, the front of my throat. And they put metal, like, plates in the front and in the back of my spinal columns, my like bones. To where if you see an x-ray, like my mom has like all that shit. It's literally like a plate in the front and the back, kind of like a wall blocking and holding them in place. Like you see screws and everything. It looks like I was like a Home Depot like project or some shit.
Which you think you could have had them like cool. Like around your carotid, like in front of? Do you think you could have had like a metal plate like actually surround your throat? So if anybody came up to you with like a razor blade or knife,
and yeah,
like it would just like clink, like not
I
even
wish.
Do anything.
I literally
like
feel,
the
yeah.
Iron Man, like the Metal Man.
It'd
like.
Be sick, but I literally I kind of feel it sometimes. But it's like it's just a small like square of metal. In the front and the back, and like screwed together.
And it holds your shit up?
To like hold my shit to See, where it's healed now.
You don't feel like, any pinching or any pain throughout any
no.
of your limbs?
Like, for like no. The only thing I felt for the longest time was nerve damage.
See, on my C4 and C5, I have a herniated and bulging disc, yeah. And I feel it throughout my shoulder blade and down my arm yeah. and into my wrist. Like, I feel that continuously. And that's just a herniated and bulging disc. I didn't have anything broken
I know,
or anything.
It sucks, dude.
And it's like, and I feel it everywhere throughout my arm.
Your spine's one of those things that, like,
it controls all that.
Fucking, yeah, it yeah. sucks. To where, like, just anything's
so
wrong.
You don't feel residual pain at all?
Not anymore now. Like I feel this every now and then, but most of the time.
You lucky fuck, man.
Yeah,
I got into a car accident, and I fucking rolled a bunch, and I walked out with a couple scars, but I have everlasting pain. I didn't even lose any limbs.
My thing is, a lot of my pain's, like, definitely in my left arm and in my hip. To where if, like right now, just sitting, like, for this long, I feel like this metal, like, there's a metal bar in, like, my pelvic bone and my ass. To where, like, if you see an x-ray, you just see this, like, metal bar just shooting through my hip. And, like,
but
just right now, it feels like it's trying to shoot out the right side of my ass right now, just sitting down this long kind of thing.
But it doesn't really hurt?
No, it hurts right now, but, like, if I walk or, like, if I stand for a little bit, it's okay, but then it starts to hurt. It
depends.
So
you can't really sit or stand for too
yeah,
long.
Exactly. To yeah. where, like, it definitely affects me negatively in
now,
certain.
What about your right arm, the one that's missing? What's going on there? Do you
my
feel
right arm? There's phantom limb pain, which at first was really cool because it was super open and chillaxed. Where like I used to joke with my mom, I used to like flick her off with both hands. I'd be like, ah, fuck you, and I'd show my middle finger on my left hand for sure, and my right hand, but like, you can't see it, but it's there because I could feel that I was doing it to where right now, though, eventually it builds up to... That was another thing I used to take Neurontin for, or sleeping medication.
What's that? Neurontin for? What?
Neurontin was for my nerves, my nerve damage, because even after I got my, like, neck, my broken neck fixed, I still had, like, fucking severe nerve damage to where, like, brushing my hair, or, like, anything touching my face, anything, like, physical contact with me sucked.
Was it an injection or just a pill?
No, it was a pill. It was, like, 100 milligram pills or something like that.
They want to give
like
me
little white pills.
They want to give me injections for my bulging and hernia.
Oh, discs. Shit.
They want to like inject right into my neck. Well, just, is like, it monthly.
To relieve the like the, swelling
the
maybe?
No, just the pain. Just so the I don't pain? Feel it. Yeah. I would just to numb it.
See if maybe a Neurontin would help because I took Neurontin for like about a year and then one day I was like, I don't want to take it anymore. I just want to see what happens. And I didn't take it and I felt fucking fine. And, like, it was one of those things where it helps up until you're healed.
Yeah, did you feel anything weird when you were on it? Was it there side effects?
I don't know, like, kind of, sort of, not really. Like, it. I guess some people use it for, like, if you have, like, weird serotonin imbalances and shit like that. But, like, for me, it was used for its chemical creation, which was to, like, kind of, like, make your nerves not as sensitive. There's Neurontin, you know, nerves and Neurontin. To where I took it to, like, desensitize my nerve damage and shit like that, to where it was okay for a while. But at the same time, I was very, like, not only did my nerves not hurt, but it was also very weird, like, when feeling things I didn't feel much and shit like that. But that's about it when it comes to it. To where, like, physical contact, I didn't feel much of it, but at the same time, it was a good thing because it didn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
But, because I remember, like, the first time I took it, my girlfriend at the time... She, like, started touching my face, my beard at the time, and, like, she's like, you don't care that I'm touching your face? I was like, no, why? She's like, it's not hurting you? And I was like, no, I would have hurt. And I was like, oh, shit, that's right. It used to suck. And then my mom was like, what? And they, like, screamed back and forth, oh, my God, it's not hurting. And they, like, combed my hair and, like, shaved my face, all this shit. And, like,
you're just like, stop touching me.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck's going on right now? And then I was like, oh, that's right. This used to all suck a lot of balls before I took, like, this medication. It was literally... The first day I took that medication, because even after the accident, after they fixed my neck, I had the neck brace, when I saw where the accident happened, and we drove back, and my stepdad was like, you want to see where it happened? I was like, yeah, sure. And we went to Polk County, the gas station, I saw it, and I was like, oh, huh. My mom got pissed off, because we saw a brand new yellow sign that says stop sign ahead and all that shit.
Yeah.
She's like, that's fucking bullshit, that it takes you fucking all this going on for that to actually change. And I was like, yeah, it's whatever, that's cool. And my neck hurt. And everything still hurt up until I finally got... I think it was my psychologist finally prescribed me Neurontin. And the first day I took it, like, 30 minutes to when, like, an hour later, I felt okay. And everything was fine. And, eventually I, like, worked my way off of it. But, because I wanted... I was always like, I don't want to take anything. I'm going to work my way off of taking everything.
Right, because who wants to spend their whole life on...
Yeah, because even when I was in, like, pain, like, my neck was broken and everything, this nurse was like, do you want morphine? And I was like, no, I don't want morphine. I don't want any of that. I just want...
After all of that, and after all of those things, the car crash, the severed arm, the pins, the needles, the nerve damage, what are you still on because of that?
Nothing, really. Just a lot of it's just anxiety or,
What, do you think that's because of all that, or do you think that's just that?
Kind of, it is. Well, I used to always have some kind of normal sense of anxiety because we all have that normal.
Yeah, I feel like anxiety is like an excuse that a lot of people kind of like cling to that they don't like address and shit.
I know. I like to think it's just a normal grounding thing. You know, it grounds us and keeps us like people, human beings, humble. But like
I think it's a new thing with society, anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's kind of like people started like bitching, like, I feel bad. What are you going to do for me kind of thing?
Baby.
You know, to
breathe.
Dakota's passing out over there.
It's kind of twitching.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a new thing where like, well, yeah, everyone's like, oh, that causes me anxiety or oh, that gets me anxious. And everyone uses that as like a reason out.
Yeah.
But mine was always like, I want to be in all the time. But while I'm in, I kind of have a serious amount of anxiety to where I want to do things. I want to like exist, be a normal person. But at the same time, I have like a lot of these weird issues to deal with.
Just, like because of your fucking accident? Like, You know, I realize most of the time when I talk to you, I'm like,
I also have like
you got one arm, but it's like it's so much more than that. It's well, not yeah, just that you have one
aside
arm.
Aside from
so
my my broken neck or pelvic bone or like my arm are broken, like my shattered, my elbow was literally shattered. To where there was like
that's why there's a scar.
Yeah, that's why there's like metal bars. If you look, it looks like door hinges in my elbow. Was because my elbow was literally, if you looked at an X-ray, it looked like jigsaw pieces separated kind of thing. And but like what really gets me is like the brain damage was what really affected me. To where I'm fine now for the most part, but I'm still going through like more mature versions of brain damage.
Where, like, so you're still suffering like neurologically.
Yeah, because like I landed on the right side of my skull. Well, and on my way out of the front passenger window, what is that? I was scalped.
What is that right brain?
The right frontal lobe.
So what does that control?
Your temper. Actually, it controls your temper, sexual orientation, impulse control, shit like that.
So that explains why you're hot-headed and kind of
They said I was going to be either very quick to be, like, annoyed or pissed off. I could have also woken up homosexual, too, for that matter. And, I could have woken up, like...
Dakota's over here doing child's pose, which is great. It's a good pose for what
she needs to.
I don't know exactly what she's going through. But she's doing child's pose, so she's working that out herself, being all humbled and stuff. I'm normally wouldn't be talking this out. I would just allow it to happen. But we're on a podcast, so yeah. I'm just describing what's going on because...
video with our mouths.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, the whole right frontal lobe explains your whole, like, you're hostile, like, oh, I'm so fucking angry, oh my god, Jesus
what's
fucking
that, shit. And it's
god,
also, fuck. What's crazy is, like, it's cool to know that, like, they actually address that it also controls sexual orientation.
Yeah, but you didn't.
To where, like... There we go, we fixed it. But yeah, I could have woken up homosexual, horny and pissed off, but instead I just woke up horny and pissed off.
So, like, every time you get pissed off now, if somebody were to be like, Alex, hey, right frontal lobe, do you think you would just be like, oh yeah?
I deal with it on, like, different levels, to where it's like, I address it, I can see it now, I can tell when it's coming, and I try to avoid it. A lot.
But I've seen you kind of fall into some shit.
Yeah, it's very hard because it's weird. It's so like looking at yourself from the outside.
What if when you were in it, oh my god, Dakota, like, don't, like...
You unlocked, like, half of the headphones.
The cables and stuff. So what if you were, raging? What if you were on a fucking thing where you're, like, pissed off and shit, and then somebody was all like, Alex, hey... This is because of your right frontal lobe.
Well, I remember one time, a lot of it takes alcohol, or like a severe amount of alcohol, and me just having nothing else to think about other than I'm drinking alcohol, because I remember one time I was, I drank a shitload of Jack Daniels or something like that. No, it was Devil's Cut, because I used to drink that like it was water.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I was very intoxicated, and I got like a baseball bat. And I smashed my, like, plasma TV screen. I smashed my Mac computer. The ones that, it's just, like, the screen. That's the Mac. The home screen. I smashed that. I broke all my expensive shit. And I said, it doesn't fucking matter. It's just shit. It's just shit. It's just fucking bullshit. You could buy it. It doesn't fucking matter. And I kept screaming and crying. And, like, I remember I had, like...
And you're doing this with one arm.
Yeah. And I was bleeding out of my feet because I was barefoot. I was just in my, like, underwear. Smashing this shit and stepping on all the glass from it, screaming, it doesn't fucking matter, none of this fucking matters.
How long after your accident?
It was a while ago.
And you broke all your stuff?
Yeah, I broke my, I had to buy a new TV after that, and my computer is broken too after that, my Mac. I literally just like fucking just took a bat to that shit and broke it, and I said, it doesn't matter because it's just things. And I was going this weird, it was philosophical, but also very like, reckless and bullshit,
uh-huh.
You know. And
Dakota's over here, like doing some weird yoga stretches and shit.
Yeah.
And when I say weird yoga stretches, I mean like weird. Like I do yoga. Those are some weird yoga stretches.
She's doing the YMCA sitting down.
I'm sure they're working for her, though. You know? Whatever works. But it's cool that you're able to, like, not so much overcome that, because you still only have one arm.
It's weird, because, like, yeah, people, like, address the whole one-arm thing, but when it comes down to it, there's a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, not just having one arm.
Years in the past and shit to where, like...
But even when you're around people, you're all like, hey, I'm just a one-arm dude and stuff.
Oh, yeah, because I make jokes, because that's honestly the, like, weakest... The
most noticeable.
Yeah, not even, yeah. It's, like, noticeable, but at the same time, it's the weakest thing that I ever had to deal with. Because I remember waking up and... After kind of coming down, they had the surgeon come in and tell me, even though I kind of, for the longest time, I thought my right arm was just, like, closed and strapped to my, like, bicep or whatever, with, like, these weird band-aids. No, and I thought that was some new kind of bullshit cast system. And then I later realized, okay, wait, no, it's like...
How long did that take you to realize?
Like, about a week or some shit. Of, like, just because it was all the, like, the drugs from the coma. Because, like, you're knocked the fuck out, and then they give you drugs to keep you knocked out, to, like, fix you up.
Man.
They cut me open, made sure my lungs, all that shit was fine. And then once I woke up, it took me, like, a week to, like, fully calm down. Because I used to, like, just stare at the roof. Because, like, people that used to stay in the hospital room before me actually were allowed to come back and paint images on the roof if they wanted to where there was, like, the Little Mermaid and Flounder and all this shit. To where they used to give me pain medication, like morphine and shit, and I would just stare at the roof and just drool. Until, yeah, eventually they stopped giving, my mom realized, okay, let's stop giving it to him because it's just doing more damage than good. And then, as I came to, I started realizing my arm's not like, because I even looked at Lyle and I was like, what's wrong? Like, Lyle was like, fucking, one of the first things I did, I looked at him, I was like, what's wrong with my arm? What's wrong with my arm? Is it broken? And Lyle looked at me. And he's like, fuck, I can't do this right now. So he kind of walked away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they were just kind of, like, left it open. And eventually I realized my arm wasn't broken. It was gone. And I was fine, though. I realized that. I got used to the fact that my arm was probably gone.
And Lyle was the one that was driving.
Right? Yes, he was the one that was driving. And he's still, like, one of my best fucking friends. And everyone wanted me to, oh, it's fucking Lyle's fault. And I was like, no, dude, it's a fucking accident. No one plans this shit on even the worst fucking enemy. It was an accident.
Yeah, I almost killed, the car crash that I had, I almost killed my best friend. He's still stuck around. It's like, it's not even one of those,
that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, your whole family's like, oh, it's his fault. Or, like, what did they tell you? And I'm just like, even my dad was waiting. My dad's a Cuban fucking hothead. He was waiting the whole time for me to wake up because he was going to kill Lyle.
You wanted your reaction, though.
Yeah, he was going to kill Lyle, but then my mom was like, no, wait till Alex wakes up. And when I woke up...
He's, like, legit going to kill him?
Yeah, no, dude, he would have fucking... My dad's, like, he wouldn't give a shit. It would have been justified totally. He's, like, the Punisher. It would have just been totally justified in his opinion. And when I woke up, though... I was like, no, don't fucking do anything to Lyle. Because I even found out my mom was going to try to sue his family. And I was like, don't fucking do anything. It's not their fault. We were just stupid kids doing stupid shit. And I ended up getting the worst of it. Who fucking cares? It's our fault. So it's my fault. It doesn't matter. And so then my mom told my dad. My dad was like, okay, fine, fuck it. And they realized it's not Lyle's fault. And I'm fucking, I still love Lyle and shit. And we used to do this joke to where the same reason why Lyle thought I was okay during the accident was because he used to look at me and I would like get a boo-boo or some bullshit doing some stupid jackass shit. And he would look at me and be like, it's fine, it'll grow back. And then when I woke up from the coma, I looked at him and we both at the same time, he was like, we don't think this will grow back. And I was like, yeah, probably not. And that's when I realized my arm was gone, was because we both made that joke at the same time. We're like, I don't think this is a girl back. And then we laughed, and he's like, thank God he doesn't fucking... And I was so glad I didn't fucking hate him. And he was so glad that I still had my sense of humor, and I was still fucking me after all that bullshit, because so much could have happened to where I still woke up fucking exactly who I am, just, like, damaged physically. So I was like, well, shit. I don't think this is a girl back. And I looked down at all my scars, my chest and everything, my elbow, and I was like... Well, shit, at least I have a lot of character now. That was, like, my fucking, the first thing I said to him, to where I was like, at least I have a lot, because I imagined myself going to bars and just telling people these bullshit-ass stories, of like, oh, yeah, I fought a fucking lion once, And like, I created this one where I was like, yeah, I told this drunk chick that story once too. I told her, I was dating this girl and she was at a party and she's like, oh, Alex, tell me the story of how the lion ripped your arm off. And my girlfriend at the time gave her friend the phone and her friend picked up. She's like, what? Courtney at the time. She's like, what? A lion ripped your arm off? And I was like, yeah. I was out with my dad on an excavation for, we were doing archaeology shit in Africa. And the next thing we know, this lion crossed the, like, caution tape. And he crossed the, like, line. And he started messing with the dig. And then he, like, just charged at me. And he just bit my right arm. And he was all the way down to my elbow. And, like, while my hand was in his, like, stomach and everything, I was like, not today. And I squeezed his organs with my fists. And then he ripped my arm off before he died. And she, like, she was so drunk. She was like, what? No fucking way. Oh my god, no fuck. Hold on. Jordan? Jordan? And she started calling her boyfriend Jordan to the phone to like ask him the same question for me to tell him the same story. And halfway telling him the story, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. I was bullshit. It was full shit. It was a car accident. I couldn't do this. To where like, that was one of those things I was like, I just started like creating all these bullshit shark attacks, all kinds of shit. While I was like, that was my, like, how I passed the time. Was either listening to like old school like Eminem CDs or just fucking making up bullshit stories. I used to have to pee in this empty like jar cup thing, this like weird pitcher for piss, and like they'd put my like dick in it, and like the nurses or like Lyle at one point had to hold it for me, my mom and shit, they would hold it for me. I always felt uncomfortable once I was off the drugs.
Lyle's your friend.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. He told me, he's like, dude, I've seen a dick before. And like,
it's not only that, he's held it.
Yeah, it was. That's what it was called. It was a urinal.
Dakota, what did you just ask me if I would hold your
hold a urinal?
I mean, granted, I don't have that piece.
You don't have a dick.
If I was a dude, would you hold a urinal for me?
If you were a Jew, you are a Jew.
No,
a
dude. It's not hard.
If you were a dude, would I hold your dick for you?
It's not hard. You hold the cup and they put you put your dick in it.
Oh,
because I put my dick in it, but Lyle held the cup.
Probably not.
Really? It's not hard, dude.
I mean, like, if you were like,
especially if you were driving, though, it's one of. I feel like that's why Lyle did it.
Yeah, okay. Let me finish. If you were in like a car accident or some shit,
would you
like,
hold
if,
my hand while somebody put a urinal. Like, was this if somebody put a Foley in me? Would you do that?
Can you repeat what she said? Because she's not on the microphone.
If you hold. Would you hold her hand while someone put a Foley in her?
Like up your
Foley is pretty much a catheter for a man, but for it's the female version.
Oh,
a funnel of sorts.
Would you walk out of the room? Or would you hold my hand and be a good trip?
Dude, like if I was there, yeah, but would I go there?
And especially if like it's one of those things where like especially if you were driving,
yeah,
and you were the reason.
If it was my fault, and shit, probably.
And that's
exactly
right.
Oh my god, Dakota, get on the goddamn microphone! Like if you're
that's one of those things where it's like. He wouldn't, but if he was probably the cause of the situation, he would. And that was what Lyle did. He, like, felt like, even, like, now, to this day, he has a tattoo of the gas station that the accident happened on. He has a tattoo on his fucking shoulder.
His
arm and shit.
Didn't you say he was gonna get a tattoo of your, like, right at your stump level? Like, of
yeah,
the...
Yeah, he got the belt that was used...
Oh, around his Dakota. Oh my god, hold
baby,
on.
Baby,
you're
hitting the
stop,
like, wires.
Stop, please. For the love of god, just stop.
But yeah, he got like a tattoo of the belt buckle. It says dead with the fingers and everything, the severed fingers from the belt buckle on his like right arm. And then right above it is like an image of the gas station where it happened at.
That's...
And like that's how much he still feels
the
same.
That's pretty
cool.
So,
his fault.
So out of this whole experience, if you had to say one thing to the listeners, one thing to everybody that's listening, what would it be about all of this?
Shit, I don't know. Anything can happen, but hope for the best. Plan for the worst, but hope for the best.
So. Out of all this, shit that's happened to you, you lost an arm, you lost a ton of fucking blood, you broke your elbow, shattered your spine.
We were charged, I died three times, and we were charged for each time.
You were charged each time you died?
Like a thousand some odd.
You got billed
like for... Like 1,500 times for flatlining and resuscitation we were charged.
You paid... You know, that got paid off by insurance, right?
Kind of. Like, my bills were like $500,000 to where they paid what they could.
Okay.
But my stepdad definitely had to cover a big bulk of that shit.
But you were under his insurance?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Because I was, I just turned 17, like, a week before the accident.
So basically, if you're going to die three times, don't do it in a hospital.
Yeah, oh yeah, like...
And don't do it underage.
All right.
Yeah, they'll charge the shit out of you.
We're approaching the hour here, so, that's the cutoff mark.
Hell yeah.
And Dakota's passed out on the floor over there. I don't know if the listeners were able to hear anything that she said, but...
We clarified most of it.
We'll get her up on the podcast next time.
Yeah.
I feel like Dakota's just had a little bit of an exhausting day.
Yeah, she's, like, vomited a lot of soul.
Yeah, she had her moment to speak earlier.
Which is great.
She got all of her stuff out, which is, it's great. But, anyway, much love.
Indeed.
GoodCleanGoods.com. Awesome soap. I make it. It's great. Fucking
good
love it.
GoodCleanGoods.com.
Lavender. It's awesome. Fucking go and get it. Good Clean Talks, what you're listening to this
works
on.
Works better than everything else.
If you got it on iTunes, go to GoodCleanTalks.com.
Yes.
If you're listening on GoodCleanTalks.com, good for you. Regardless where you're listening, go to GoodCleanTalks.com. And there's a series of ads there. One is for Onnit. They got good supplements. They're a great company. I take their shit. Alpha Brain is wonderful. It helps to promote the healthy growth of neurotransmitters.
Alpha Brain's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I gave you some for your... Yeah. Alpha Brain's great. They got a number of other supplements right now. I'm on this thing called Total Primate Care, which is like a collection of supplements you take throughout the day. That's like everything you need, like a human needs throughout the day. It's great. It's some good shit. New Mood. It's included in the night pack of Total Primate Care. With New Mood, is like a L-tryptophan and 5-HTP, which 5-HTP promotes serotonin, and L-tryptophan turns to 5-HTP, and the 5-HTP will turn to serotonin throughout the day.
Just be careful. So you don't want serotonin syndrome.
It's a great day. It's a great day if you take that.
Yes.
Yeah, if you do like Molly or some shit, totally do New Mood. I'm just saying. I'm not affiliated with Onnit. I'm just saying. Do that shit. It'll definitely help. If you do drugs or fucking weird shit that might fuck with your stuff, do that.
5-HTP, Ginkgo Biloba.
Ginkgo is, Ginkgo, I don't know if that's included in Alpha Brain.
It's good, though, because it helps your circulation.
Yeah.
Especially to your brain.
Ginkgo,
Which it helps brain, memory.
Bacopa is an Ayurvedic thing. If you've heard me talk about Ayurveda on the podcast before, it's an Indian.
There's all kinds of nootropics that are fucking great.
Medicine and stuff. There's a lot of good shit. Anyway, there's an ad on my page for Onnit. There's a lot of good shit on there. There's an ad for Amazon. I know you're gonna buy shit on Amazon, so like, hey, click through my link and then buy your shit because you're listening to this and it's free, yo. All I'm asking is like, hey, you're gonna buy your shit, dude. Through
ad,
it doesn't cost you anything more at all, but it helps me out.
It's good and it's clean.
Yeah, and there's also other ads. I think by like Google AdSense or some shit. I don't fucking know. Click whatever's on the page.
Yeah.
But I know the two, Amazon and Onnit. I promote them wholeheartedly. They're fucking great. Thank you for listening. This has been Dakota, Dolan, Alex over there with the one arm.
Yeah, unarmed.
Unarmed, yeah.
And dangerous.
Well, hey, namaste. Thanks for listening. Brothers and sisters, have a good one.
Thank you.